really the great sexist, the Brahmin. And you say, well, here, all you've said up to now makes me fairly sympathetic as an intellectual, but I don't really feel it. What must I do to feel it really? My answer to you is this. You ask me that question because you don't want to feel it. You're frightened of it. Therefore, what you're going to do is you're going to get a method and practice so that you can put it off. So that I can say, well, I can be a long time on the way getting this thing. And then maybe I'll be worthy of it after I have suffered. See, because we are brought up in a social scheme whereby we have to deserve what we get. And the price that one pays for all good things is suffering. But all of that is precisely postponed because one is afraid here and now to see it. If you had the nerve, real nerve, you would see it right away. Only that would be when one feels you shouldn't have nerve. That would be awful. That would be that wouldn't do at all. Because after all, I'm supposed to be poor little me, and I'm not really much of a conscience, and I'm playing the role of being poor. Therefore, in order to be something great, like a Buddha or a Jivanmukta, one liberated in this life, I ought to suffer. So you can suffer. There are all kinds of ways invented for you to do this. And you can discipline yourself, and you can gain control of your mind, and you can do all sorts of extraordinary things. Fantastic things. But that's just like the cable. You can run 100 yards in 9 seconds. Or push a peanut as you can those. Or any other kind of accomplishment you want to engage in. There's absolutely nothing to do with the realization of the self. The realization of the self fundamentally depends on coming up. Some people can come up. They laugh and say they suddenly realize they were making fools of themselves, and they laugh at themselves and they come up. So in exactly the same way, the guru, the teacher, is trying to make you come up. Now if he finds he can't make you come up, he's going to put you through all these exercises so that you, for the last time, when you've got enough disciplines, enough suffering, enough frustration, you'll give it all up. Realize you were there from the beginning when there's nothing to realize. But the guru is very clever. He says, all right, if this is the way you have to go, this is the way you have to go. You asked for it. You came to me, I didn't invite you, you came to me and said, I want to learn yoga. Well, he said, yoga is you. You're tatvamasi, or something like that. Well, no, you say, I'm sorry, I don't understand that. I'm only getting intellectually out of it. So I see. I've got to satisfy you. The customer is always right. No? I've got to give you all this work. Because you can't see directly. But he's looking at you in a funny way, you see. The guru is always saying to you, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's your game? Imagine, for example, a father confessor. Terribly guilty that you have committed murders and robberies and adulteries and fornications and all kinds of arson and injury to people and financial shenanigans. And you go to this man and say, I am a terrible sinner. I have murdered somebody. How many times? And you you think?
Oh, good Lord.
This man doesn't realize how awful I am. You recite all these things. He's perfectly calm.
And then you say to me, you don't seem to be very sharp. You said you haven't confessed any serious sins. I said, what do you mean by serious sins?
Supposing that I say to you,